Our sermon title is Waiting. What are you waiting for this morning? Dr. Zeus kind of playfully says, you know, waiting for a pair of pants or waiting for a second chance in that thing that I read this to the children. But what are you waiting for? In a large scale this morning, Noel and I are waiting for wisdom from God. Wisdom from God in the department of marriage. I love her, she loves me. We all know stories, though, where that's just not enough, right? Like, what we're waiting, God, can you show us where you're taking this? Can you show us what you want to do in our dating relationship? Those who know me know I'm not patient. I've screwed this up. So we're praying. God, we want to be in step with you. God, we're waiting for you. On a small scale this week, we're waiting for some resolution, whether we're to be worshiping in this space or Nick Bassiano, just literally 100 meters down the street. It's not quite clear, so we're waiting on God. What are you waiting for right now? And go deeper than, you know, an Amazon package in the mail. What are you actually waiting for right now? I'd invite you to turn to your neighbor and take a risk and share what you're waiting for. There's a kind of waiting that's difficult, that's serious, that's even painful. Waiting for that partner that didn't come, or waiting for that job that will finally pay the bills, or waiting for a child, or waiting for someone you love very, very dearly to get out of the rut that they're in. We're waiting for the darkness, the depression, to lift from your own life. Waiting, right? Lewis Smedes puts it this way, waiting's our destiny. As creatures who cannot bring themselves what we hope for, we wait in darkness. We wait in darkness for a flame that we ourselves can't just light. We wait for the happy ending that we ourselves can't write. We wait for this not yet that feels like it's going to be a not ever. Right? We're just waiting. And where's your heart right now with this waiting? Is God delaying something in your life? Are you ready to give up? Are you impatient? I hope you'll get something out of this. Let's pray. Jesus, may this be a place where we can be real with you and where you can be real with us. Would you send your Spirit here in this place? Amen. We begin, and we're looking at Acts 1. And this is Jesus on his final day with his friends, his last day with his friends. What's he going to say? What would you say if it was your last day with your friends? It would have to be important, right? So what he's going to say, his last word is going to be, wait. Let's read Acts 1, verse 4. While he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, and in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." These are his last words. He could have said, okay, guys, now's the time. Let's get together. We're going to write the Bible. Like, we're going to write the New Testament. Let's go to work. No, he didn't do that. Then they gathered around him, verse 6. "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" It's hard for us to understand this struggle. These people had been in oppression from the Romans for years and years and years, and it felt like it wasn't going to lift. It's like the U.S., imagine the U.S. invading Canada. It's hard for us to get this, but them saying, you know, you can't shop at Tim Hortons. You got a curfew. You can't play bocce ball. Oh, man, that would be the end. I love bocce ball. That would be the very end, right? So this, it's a very, very hard time for them, and so they're looking for the political oppression to lift. And you keep reading. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." After this, he was taken from their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. We know that they did that, right? They went and they took the gospel throughout the world. We know all that. But Jesus knew the amount of teaching, the amount of ministry that his friends would be doing. And he still tells them, sit still. Stay. So that he could prepare them for their future. Without the power that comes from waiting on the Spirit of God, they'd be useless. And if this is true for them back then, could it not also be true for us today? Spurgeon says, "Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. Like ships without wind, like branches without sap, like coals without fire, we're useless." God is always making his people wait. Why? It's all over in the Bible. Why does he do that again and again and again? God comes to Abram. Abram is 75 years old. He says, "Abraham, you can have a child. I promise you a child. You'll be a father, and you know what? You'll be a father of a whole nation." And what happens? That child doesn't come that day, not the next day. He has to wait 25 years. Imagine that, 25 years. Then God comes to Moses to take the people to the promised land. You know what? This journey, it could take 40 days to get to the promised land. How long does it take? Anyone? 40 years. It could take 40 days. And they were already under oppression for 400 years. God sets apart Jesus from birth. How long does Jesus have to wait before he goes into public ministry? 30 years. And then to start out his ministry, how long does he wait in that season of prayer? 40 days. He's waiting. God makes his people wait. I don't like to wait. Who here likes to wait? Who here likes to wait? There's got to be one of us. Someone? Someone likes to wait? Did I see a hand in the back? Okay. That's the reason why I was engaged twice, right? 3 months each time. I was dating the girl for 3 months, and then I went out and bought a ring. What's one word that describes that? No, let's be more harsh. Foolish. It's like, I don't like to wait, and I don't know what to do in the waiting. What do you do? It's like the clock's ticking here, but God, you're not moving. But he has a different perception of time when he invites us to wait. There's this verse that says, for the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. It's like no time is like a huge amount of time. Or 1,000 years is like a day, rather. And so God has a different perspective, and we need to learn how to trust him. There may be a factor that we can't see. There might be a reason why he's making us wait that we can't see right now. There was an economist who was quite amazed by this verse. And he said, Lord, is it true that 1,000 years is pretty much like a minute to you? And the Lord said, yes, that's true. And the economist said, well, then $1,000,000 is pretty much like a penny to you. Is that right? And God said, well, yes. And the economist said, well, Lord, will you give me one? Just one of those pennies. And the Lord said, yes, all right, I will. Just wait here 1 minute. It's been said often we want God's resources, but we don't want his timing. We want the penny, but we don't want the minute. We want his hand, but we don't want his calendar. We forget that his work is in us. It's working in us while we wait. We forget his work in us while we wait, which is just as important as what we're waiting for. It's interesting that after all these years of waiting, hundreds of years, God's people were waiting for Jesus. And then when he gets there, you know what? You know, Jesus, you're not what we wanted after all that waiting. I find verse 6 interesting. Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Remember, it was not long ago that two of the disciples had asked, hey, look, when you enter your king thing that you're going to enter, will you let me sit on your right and my friend sit on your left? Right? Like it's, they want this power. Paraphrase the disciples, it's like, you know what, are you going to give us what we want? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? You know, we want to be able to play bocce ball again, right? Like they wanted that freedom from that political rule. They wanted that. No, he said, you don't understand my kingdom. And they had to wait. They had to wait for 10 days. And something happened at the end of those 10 days, and the Spirit came, and the Christian movement began. The point is, Jesus didn't have to make them wait. He didn't have to. Why did he do that? He could have just gone up and the Spirit come down, right? He waited. The Spirit waited. In the waiting, they were being shaped to become the kind of people that God wanted them to be. Psalm 37:7 says, be still before the Lord and wait for him. Psalm 130:6 says, I wait for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning, more than the watchmen wait for the morning. You say, what do I do in my waiting? My job, your job is to be a watchman, to have a watchman's attitude. A confident expectation that God will do what he said he'll do. He'll bring about his kingdom in my life on his timetable. We opened with, you each shared something that you're waiting for. Something that you're longing for. We're going to spend some time in silence. 3 minutes waiting. And this will be a time for you to say, God, I want your hand, yes, but I also surrender to your calendar. I accept not just your resources, but also your timing in my life. In the silence, we'll acknowledge that we're not going to forget that God is working while we are waiting. And I want to start the time of silence with a prayer of confession. Let's pray. Jesus, we confess that we've been trying to hurry you. We've been impatient. Right now, I ask you to take me by the hand and do what you want to do. I trust that you love me completely and that you know what you're doing in my situation. I commit my life to be about your kingdom and not mine. I wait for you more than the watchmen wait for the morning. As a church, you see all our jumbled weaknesses, our hopes, our impatience, our loves. You see it all right now. We declare with Psalm 62:1, "For God alone my soul waits. In silence from him comes my salvation." Psalm 62:1, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation." In the silence, God is supernaturally equipping us to seek first his kingdom. In the sermon, we talked a little bit about what you're waiting for. In this series on moving in, why are we talking about what we're waiting for? Because ultimately, we're waiting for God to move in. Ultimately, that's what we're waiting for. Sure, we're always waiting for something, you know, a spouse, a job, a child, release from depression, financial freedom, healing. But we wait with hope for these things, and we do wait for hope with these things. We have a father who loves to give good gifts to his children. But are you actually waiting on God? Are you actually waiting for God? Are you waiting for his kingdom, not your own kingdom? See, for Christians, we declare that we're waiting for something far better than this world could ever offer. Our hope is set there. We're waiting for a new world where beauty and justice and peace just burst through the air in the sky, and the world will be right, where everything sad will become untrue. We're waiting for peace to rule and to reign in this world. We're waiting for a new body, and the aches and pains will be gone, when the gut issues will be no more, when the back pain is zilch. We're waiting for that. We're waiting for a new power. A new power when sin will no longer be, when shame won't be an issue, when we can hold our heads up high with that, not being gripped by that shame that often has a hold on us. Most of all, we're waiting for our King. We're waiting for King Jesus to move in power. Do you think about this? Does this reality shape your thinking, or are you just waiting for the watches? What are you waiting for? Do you trust God and his word? Because ultimately, every longing of your heart and mine is waiting for Jesus, not the actual thing on the Christmas list. That's not what you're waiting for. That's not going to satisfy. We're entering into Advent this week. Where it's a time of waiting. where we prayerfully reflect on this, this issue of waiting. Are we actually waiting? Are you actually waiting for God? C.S. Lewis said, most people, if they had really learned to look at their own hearts, would know that what they want and want so acutely, so much, is something that they can't have in this world. There are all sorts of things in this world that offer to give you that thing for your heart. As Augustine called it, that God, that hole in your heart, they offer it, but they don't quite keep their promise. They all end up being like that watch that I got when I was 10 with a calculator on it. I want you to have the opportunity to publicly declare this. So you're going to stand up, and you're going to repeat after me, okay? Like we do with the kids' prayer. Jesus, I am waiting on and for you. I trust you completely. There's a kind of power to just declaring that. Christ came and Christ will come again. As one author put it, one sight of his face. Imagine that, seeing Jesus' face. Imagine that right now. That will banish sadness forever. One sight of Jesus' face. One note of his voice will swallow your own disappointment. One moment in his presence will cast all of our pain into the depths of the sea. One moment in the presence of Jesus. We need to be reminded as we go into Christmas, underneath all the gifts, underneath all the parties, underneath all that stuff, that we're underneath all our waiting in this world is a hope that cannot disappoint. A day when we will see Jesus even as we are fully seen by him in this moment. Let's pray. Jesus, awaken our hearts to see you in a fresh way. As Jeff was inviting us to go on our knees, my heart opened freshly to your glory and your majesty and your dominion. That you are the God who created and sustains all things. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. All things come from you. All things are for you. All things find their ultimate fulfillment in you. God, might this be the case for us this Christmas. Might we find our ultimate fulfillment in you. And God, in those areas where we want to move in and fix, we want to change things, God, may we be able to just wait and trust that you are moving in. Your kingdom is coming. Shape our hearts, shape our longings to this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.